That sound means it's time for the Chatham County Roundup. And today we are joined in the studio by real estate entrepreneur, former mayor, musician, host of On the Porch, and the publisher and editor of the Chatham County Line, and of course, much more. All the way from Pittsburgh, it is Mr. Randy Voller. Randy, how are you this afternoon?
It's great to be back.
Glad to have you on. And as is usually the case, we start things off by doing a little update on the real estate market in Chatham and Orange counties. What do we know about it from since our last visit?
Well, the housing report's interesting. Last time, median sales prices in Chatham County were down, but guess what? They bucked a trend and they're up to $555,000 in January. That's compared to what's going on in Durham, where the median sales price is $358,000. It's actually down 7.6%, while Chatham's is up 7.5%. And then in Orange, which had a median sales price last time, I believe, of over $700,000, is down 18% this month to $510,000.
Any theories on why Chatham County's bucking that trend right now?
Well, as you know, median is not the mean. It's essentially the middle price. So in Chatham County, you have a lot of inventory that's selling for a higher price. As we talked about last time, Orange County's market is more evenly spread out from the $250 to $1 million range, where Chatham County hardly has any inventory below $375, but quite a bit of inventory that's either listed or sold between $375 and $875. So that drives the price up. And of course, it also has quite a bit of sales and activity above $1 million, which is totally different, Andrew, from when I first got down in Chatham County in the 1990s.
I'm sure it is. I'm still wrapping my head around the Chatham County development scene, honestly, having been there for approaching a year now. You know, just setting Chatham Park aside, even all the development happening in the immediate Pittsburgh area is astounding, and that's without the largest private development in the country happening right there in town also.
Well, the driving factors are that the population is much higher in Orange, in Durham, and in Wake. And when you look at Chatham just compared to Wake, it's about 1/11th or 1/12th the population, maybe 1/13th. So just by looking at those numbers, you know, people are looking at Chatham as a place to go. Of course, it's also happening in Harnett County, which was traditionally a large rural county. The section of Harnett that's closest to Wake is now becoming more urbanized and with a lot more density and projects going in there as well.
Makes sense as the influence of the triangle continues to expand outward into those ring towns as well. Any other big takeaways from the housing report?
Well, the National Association of Realtors supplies it, and I bring it to you through Orange Chatham Association of Realtors. The state report's kind of interesting. The median sales price, so if you're interested in comparing Orange Chatham to the state prices are actually up 1.3% to 279. Inventory statewide is actually up 21%, but there's still only 2.8 months of inventory on the market. And a balanced market is typically 6 months, right, of inventory. So we have this interesting thing going on where interest rates have gone up because the Fed has put pressure there against inflation, right? But you still have a scarcity of supply, and you still have people who are looking for homes, and you definitely have an issue in the Triangle and other parts of the state for what I call affordable living, right? For affordable housing, affordable living. And I'm not sure exactly how that's going to be solved, but I know that everywhere from Washington to Raleigh to right here in Hillsborough and Pittsburgh, the county seats, it's something that's on the mind of elected leaders and policymakers.
It's definitely something that we continue to hear about with increasing regularity in the housing market and for elected leaders trying to come up with more options for affordable housing, particularly as the population continues to grow. And you know, I'm part of that. I'm one of those guys that moved in from out of state here in the last year or so. So I'm part of the trend that is making this housing market be what it is.
Well, one of the interesting things, Andrew, is last time I was on here, Chatham County was looking at some regulatory changes. And I think they were looking at the concept of doing abatement on some of the fees, because as we discussed, if you have a $100,000 home or a $200,000 home and the fees are $10,000 for getting your building permits and paying any other fees for recreation or education or whatever, for coming in and getting your permit from the county, that's at $100,000, that's 10%. At $200,000, it's 5%. But if you're building a $1 million house, $10,000 is 1%, right? So the fees themselves, other regulatory issues kind of play into the cost of housing.
Of course.
And we're visiting with Randy Voller from Pittsboro. And is there anything else you wanted to touch on the housing report, or should we transition into some of that Pittsboro news?
I think it's a good time. If people are wanting to sell land or are interested, they should contact their realtor. I think that they should, you know, use a realtor, someone who's with an association. And I think that the market's going to continue to be strong because of issues with supply, even with what's going on with rates, and we're probably still going to be battling affordability. But that said, there's other issues that are still on the plate that have to do with infrastructure and have nothing to do with the Board of Realtors or the market. This has to do with just things like infrastructure, which our president was talking about last night, water quality. Of course, you and I live in Pittsboro, and I was mayor of Pittsboro, and I've actually built water and sewer systems. And last time we mentioned that the town filed a suit against 3M, DuPont, and other chemical companies for the PFAS contamination. And there's been further information about that. I think the town has joined in probably a much larger case nationwide. But I think it's interesting what our mayor said. You know, she said, everyone knows that when you make a mess, you're supposed to clean it up. And this kind of brings an interesting question about development that I was talking to with my wife and others when we were driving. People get very concerned about encroaching into buffers and wetlands, and rightfully so. But the bigger concern to me are what people are putting into our water. Because, you know, if you make an encroachment and you do it right, you should be able to handle it. Obviously, there's going to be impervious surface and runoff, which has an environmental impact. And we all know that, but there's nothing worse than having an impact of PFAS or Gen X being put in your water.
Right.
And I don't know about you, but I don't know any elected official that's ever been able to say, I would like to supply all the dirty water you want. We want to buy it. It doesn't seem to be
not a good sell, is it?
No. Now, the lawsuit has pleaded six causes, which are interesting. Product liability for both design defect and failure to warn, public and private nuisance, trespass, and negligence. And it seeks a range of relief, including compensatory and punitive damage and an abatement fund. So this probably won't come soon enough if there's some settlement to this. But I'm sure that if the town of Pittsboro and other municipalities that are in the suit were to get a settlement, that would go a long way in Pittsboro, for instance, to paying for or putting money toward needed infrastructure improvement.
And there's a lot that is actually in process in Pittsboro on this. We've got this lawsuit. We had the whole issue with the GAC filter being put in, and that's now up and running.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, it's made a huge difference in almost immediately having that. And then we've got the Western Intake Partnership that's starting to get up and running, where we're looking at a group of municipalities tapping Jordan Lake in order to have another source of water. And then, of course, we've got the merger with Sanford System as well. So it went from when I got here being like, hey, this is a beleaguered water system, to suddenly there are four or five different things in play going on to improve the circumstance in Pittsboro.
Well, I'd like to give an interesting shout out that you mentioned the Jordan Lake Partnership, because that was something I started with, and giving a shout out to leaders, old leaders in Chapel Hill and in Orange County, Barry Jacobs, who was on the county commissioners forever, Mark Chilton and Kevin Foy. They were both mayors of Chapel Hill and Carrboro back in the day. And I came to them in 2006 and said, hey, you guys, Owassa has this intake on Jordan Lake. Why don't we cooperate and work together? What people have to understand about government world, which is very frustrating, is you plant seeds in the past only to be harvested. I might not even be here when that plant gets built, but you want elected officials in office that are constantly sowing new ideas and thinking toward the future, because we talked about that in 2006, and it's 2023, and we still don't have a plant.
It was definitely fascinating to learn that Orange County had these water rights from Jordan Lake from the late 80s that just, there's nowhere to get it.
The Western Intake.
That's right. What Western Intake? Well, let's make one.
Exactly. So some other updates are going on in the town. The town has actually moved its offices from Chatham Mills to Main Street Station, and that new address is 287 East Street. They are just moved in, so, and their office hours are 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m., so that's a big deal. That's where the YMCA is. Mm-hmm. And the town is currently requesting a public review and comments on proposed system development fee update. You can go online and find that, but I think people, they have till March 19th to weigh in about what the fee structure should be for infrastructure improvements. They did give a notice for a special meeting. That'll be next week. It has to do with the town manager, so possibly we'll be hiring a new town manager or extending an interim. I don't know.
Hopefully we're just going to be done with this story for a little while. Hey, Randy, we're almost out of time. Is there anything else that you wanted to get mentioned before we wrap things up?
Well, you know, I love to talk about the arts. So the National and Local Artists Unite with the big nights in the arts coming on March 9th. And they're going to have, this year's lineup includes Grammy-nominated country musician Reese Palmer, roots music duo Chatham Rabbits, who are local, Tony Award-winning star Beth Lavelle, Fusion Trio, Larry, Amp, and Joe, stick artist Patrick Doherty. You can check that out on bignightin.org. And, of course, there's another thing coming up. If you're interested in wands, this is a save-the-date. Dory Casey is opening up her studio for the handheld magic wand staff and scepters. So if you're like me, who is a D&D nerd from the back in the day, this is at 219 Cub Creek Road in Chapel Hill. And that's on the 18th, the annual Farrington Folk Art Show. So if you're into wands, that's where you're going to want to go to get your magic wand and use it for good.
Now you know, use those wands for good, as Randy says. Randy, thank you so much for making the trip up and joining us in studio, and I look forward to our next visit.
I look forward to it as well, Andrew.